Welcome to Becoming Whole, a weekly show designed for men, women, and families seeking to draw nearer to Jesus as they navigate topics like sexual integrity, relational healing, spiritual health, and so much more. If you long for more of Jesus in these sensitive and important areas of life, join us on the journey towards becoming whole.
Many of us, you know, actually all of us, have some residual effects from our childhood. And, you know, God designed parenthood to be so beautiful and, you know, so perfect. And it doesn't exist in that way in our broken world. And yet, you know, God is redemptive and he's the perfect parent. And so we can bring all these things to God and he can heal them. A few weeks ago, we talked about father wounds and the really large impact that can have on us. And today we're going to talk about mother wounds. And this is a reality that comes up a lot with women that I am doing spiritual coaching with. And there's many different levels of wounding, but being able to identify it and bring it to God is an important part of becoming whole.
Right. And I think about, you know, the number of men also who have experienced wounds from mom. And I think, like we said last time when we talked about father wounds, we know that our most parents really try to do their best. And so this is not about trying to throw our parents this week, especially our moms, under the bus in any way. But it is about just facing the reality of where we may have been wounded or where we may have had needs that weren't met, and how that impacts us today as we want to be whole people.
Yeah, it really is important. And a lot of people really do hesitate. Well, you know, they did the best they could. And we make a point of saying, this is not about dissing your parents at all. We just know that everybody has some experience of wounding. I am a mother and I've done wounding unintentionally to my kids. So it's just about acknowledging that it happens and it might be extremely insightful and helpful to look at it.
So Kate, maybe we should just pause and kind of slow down a little bit. And what do we mean by mother wound? When we talk about being wounded by mom or mother wound, what are we talking about? What kinds of things?
Well, you know, because we're imperfect mothers, we do the best we can, but we miss some things. We miss, maybe we're really different than our child. And so we don't connect or we're not as attuned to that child, or maybe we're really busy and exhausted. And so we don't realize the way we check out and how that affects a child. And certainly there are situations of sexual abuse where, you know, it's going on in the family and the mother, for whatever reason, fear, denial, doesn't acknowledge it and doesn't protect the child. And that can be a huge thing. And so we see all of these kinds of things in people who come to see us about relationship, emotional, you know, sexual issues. And sometimes we go, oh, it sounds like you had some tension in that relationship with your mom. Can we talk about that? So that we can call that a mother wound.
Yeah. And I think that, like, to me, the theological background for it is really that God created male and female in his image, right? Genesis 1:27. And so when he designed it, that male and female together would create new human life and raise every little boy and every little girl. Part of what he was wanting from mom and from dad was that mom and dad would together bring some things to their kids. Dad would bring some things to the kids that mom wouldn't be able to. Mom would bring some to the kids that dad wouldn't be able to. And when something gets messed up in there, those needs don't just go away. A need is a need, and that means it's not an option. And so if there's something that we needed from our moms, that God designed us to receive from our moms, or things that we were designed to receive, when something goes sideways with those things, then it leaves a mark. It leaves an impact on us, and we just want to get after those things.
Yeah, and there's early things that happen between a key, you know, caregiver and a child. You know, these are developmental issues that, you know, are pretty well known, but we don't always talk about it in reference to our own story. You know, but if there is an illness or a mental illness or a physical illness or addiction or just a mom who's emotionally overwhelmed, like I know that. You know, my mom was candid with me about some of her own difficulties in feeling emotionally overwhelmed as she tried to parent. And if you are really just you know, so out of gas all the time, you know, it's really hard to be present, to be attuned, you know, it's hard to do that. It's hard to be like that, even when things are all going well. And so some kids are going to be like, roll with it, like whatever. And other kids are going to be like, wow, I really, you know, I remember my mom was just not there for me.
Yeah, kid. So talk a little about, I know I've heard you talk before about the role that a mom plays in mirroring. And I think that's one of the first places that we really come into the face-to-face with the reality that mom gives something really unique to kids, especially in infancy.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I have a picture. My older daughter gave me a picture, a group of pictures one year for Mother's Day. And one of the pictures is she's probably like 9 months old and she's laying on her back on the floor and I'm, you know, 6 inches from her face and she's laughing and giggling and I'm laughing and giggling. You know, that's a picture of mirroring your baby, you know. When they're laughing and happy, you're laughing and happy. You know, when they're sad, you have a sense of, you know, you become sad, you begin to soothe. And so, you know, when we mirror, we know that now, right? When we're talking to somebody and they're like empathizing with us and, you know, attuned to our emotions, well, that's very validating. And so as an infant with a caregiver, that can be really, you know, very critical.
So really what we're talking about is kind of this, it's a picture of, I mean, just what you said, just the word or that word mirroring, it's a baby or a young child looking into mom's face and feeling something, and the mom, and then seeing on the mom's face and hearing in the mom's voice something that seems to resonate with what the child is experiencing, and then that validation, that connection with mom does something for the child. I looked this up before the podcast today, and for a fascinating look at this, listeners, take a look. You can Google still face experiment, just still face experiment. The one I think there are a couple out there, but the one I saw was a guy named Dr. Edward Tronick, I think is how you say his last name. And it's basically watching a mom, with her baby in front of her, and the mom holds her face and doesn't change her facial expression. And you can watch this child become increasingly agitated and until it starts to basically scream and squirm in its seat until mom again engages with the child and begins to reflect back some of what the child's experiencing. I think it's just a visceral kind of image of what we're talking about.
Yeah. And so you can imagine, you know, we have heard some very clear theories about attachment, you know, secure attachment when we're younger and insecure attachment. So you can imagine that if a mother is mirroring this baby, you know, this message is going to be sent. I'm here for you. You know, I see you. And if not, then a different message is going to be sent, you know, like you're not here for me. You don't see me. And so that can, both of those things can feed into a child having a secure attachment and a child having an insecure attachment.
And Kit, so, you know, I'm keep thinking about like really little kids, but it occurs to me as you're talking, as you're thinking about clients you work with, you're not necessarily talking always about, you know, the first year of life. You might also be talking about, you know, preschool, elementary school, middle school, high school. I mean, absolutely. How far does this go?
Oh gosh, you know, I think it's probably to some degree a lifelong thing. You know, our relationship with our parents is very delicate, sensitive, significant. But yeah, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, my own experience, both being mothered and being a mother, or clients of mine that have, you know, shared this with me that, you know, like middle school, let's just say, what a sensitive area, you know, age that is. And, you know, if you are very different from your mother and you guys are in conflict and the mother's saying things to you like, you're so quiet, you know, or you're so loud, or, you know, you're hearing messages that you're not okay, that who you are is not okay. And again, most of us don't mean to intentionally inflict that, but, we can definitely receive those messages, at any age.
I think one of the things I've heard from male clients that I've walked with, one has been a situation where, especially as they get older, mom does not let them go. or maybe a different way, mom does not let them grow. And so they're still, you know, mom's little boy, even as they move into later years of elementary school, middle school, high school. And so there's this kind of like, just this, there can either be a failure to really kind of stand up and become a young man they were created to be, or there can be this increased resistance and pushing away from mom and feeling controlled by mom, and which can have its own negative consequence. So that's one. And the other that I've heard from a lot of guys is where something's happening with dad in the relationship with mom. Either dad's not in the picture, or dad's emotionally aloof, or maybe dad's mean in some way. And so mom turns to the young boy and kind of uses him as a surrogate spouse and kind of confides in him. Maybe even talks negatively about his dad to him, which just can really mess with a young man's sense of what it means to be a man.
Yes.
And corollaries for girls.
Oh gosh. You know, I really do hear that often. Whether it's a single mom or just a mom that's overwhelmed or has some underlying issues, you know, this idea that the young girl, whether it's elementary school or middle school or high school, becomes the parent role. So they're the listening ear for their mom, listening to all their problems. The mom is looking to the daughter to be the strong one, to take care of things, to do the cooking, to watch the kids. Like, that happens a lot. And so that can be very difficult for a young person who's trying to live their own life and figure out who they are, to feel responsible for a parent instead of the other way around.
Right. I think that's a good way of putting it. That's the key, because it's not the kids shouldn't help around the house. It's not
right.
Like, you know, we've got six kids in our house. Our kids help with the younger ones. That's kind of part of how they're growing up.
Right.
But the piece is, are we expecting our kids to bear the adult's burdens and the adult load emotionally and physically, or are they still allowed to be under their mom and their dad's wings?
I'm so glad you mentioned that. It's a very different scenario.
Yeah. So Kit, how do these play out? Like, you know, say these are some of the things that somebody's experienced. They've experienced mother wounds when they're younger. How does this end up playing out in someone's life? What are some of the what this might lead to for somebody?
Well, you know, I think we all have dysfunction in our lives, you know, so this is just one possibility to explore. But when people come to me and they're like, you know, I'm really having a lot of difficulty, you know, in relationships or self-esteem or sexually, you know, and I have them tell me their story, I'm looking for some of these things. I'm not digging for problems, but, you know, there might be some places where, because, you know, one thing I think of is a mom telling a daughter, like, maybe the daughter has a very different style and likes to dress a certain way, like, not really that into wearing makeup and, you know, dresses or whatever. And I had talked to a client about this a couple months ago, and the mom really wanted her to be ultra feminine, like she was. And the mom was insecure that the daughter wasn't, you know, mirroring her. And so the daughter became very insecure about her looks, her appearance. And, you know, so that played out then when she began to want to have relationships with, you know, the opposite sex. She just didn't always feel attractive. And so, you know, these things can play out in ways that we see ourselves and the way we think other people see us. And it can affect our ability to have healthy relationships, to feel secure.
Yeah, and it is interesting. You know, we've talked about father wound, and both mom and dad play such a significant role in giving and feeding a child's sense of themselves, and giving a sense of what it means to be a little boy or a little girl, what it means to be in a relationship, their own sense of agency, their own sense of security. I think you know, mom, and I can't speak for everybody here, but it does strike me that mom has a kind of unique place, because she's that very first relationship with the child, that she almost like serves as she can almost be like that bedrock foundation under a child. And if that's shaky, I think it can be a difficult thing for kids to kind of reckon with.
Yeah.
So Kate, you mentioned, or you have six different areas, or I think you called them themes, that this can lead to, or some of these problems can lead to. Yeah. Why don't you tell us what they are, and then we'll walk through them.
Yeah. And you know, there's certainly more than six, but these are probably the things that I see most often when I'm working with people. The first one is boundary issues. The second one is not trusting your own feelings. The third one is not being able to trust others. Fourth is being oversensitive or being ultra reactionary. Fifth one is chronic difficulty in relationships, you know, ongoing unhealth in relationships. And then finally, just a low self-esteem, just not, you know, really self-critical, even maybe self, you know, hatred.
Okay. Well, let's walk through them. Start with boundaries.
I
think an easy way of thinking about boundaries is simply it's a visible or invisible demarcation between two people. And so when there are boundary issues from a mother wound, what kinds of things, what does that mean? And how does that pan out?
Yeah. And this is something I can relate to in my own life and certainly see in a lot of other people's lives. And it's this idea that, you know, if we didn't get what we needed growing up, we may learn to believe that we must please others to be loved and accepted. And so we don't know how to say no. We don't know how to set limits, you know, or use our voice, trust that we have something to say and to use it in a healthy way. And so we can become, you know, really obsessed with pleasing others and really to the neglect of our own very healthy, normal needs. And so I often see women who don't know how to say no.
Yeah. And when I think about men, I think one of the things that we've seen, so I talked to this before about the lack of boundaries between a little boy and his mom, where he becomes that kind of surrogate spouse or the confidant. That can be confusing for a little boy, and I imagine for a little girl too, growing up, because there's a sense of whose emotions am I supposed to feel? And so instead of having the freedom and the room to feel his or her own little emotions, mom's emotions, because they're adult-sized emotions, become kind of the primary topic, if you will, or the primary focus in the relationship. And so they learn to shut down their own emotions, or at least feel like, hey, if I'm going to be okay. And I think some of this just kind of kicks in because mom is supposed to be foundational. Mom is supposed to be a secure source for the little child. So if mom's not doing okay emotionally in this moment, then, you know, I've got to take care of her in order for me to be okay. And plus there's really not room for me to deal with my own stuff. And so I think that can lead into the same kinds of things you're talking to, and kind of another picture of how boundaries can be become confused through this process.
And it's really a common thing, you know, just feeling like, oh, it's okay to do that. It's okay to say no. It's okay to, you know, it's not unkind. And so it's an important adulting kind of thing that we all need to learn a little bit about, but in some cases it's more extreme than others.
So, and it may even have kind of almost turned the corner into the next of the six you mentioned. You said not trusting our own feelings.
Yeah.
And so talk more about that.
Well, if we learned, you know, to cope by turning into other people's feelings, you know, our mothers, we just may dismiss our own. Yeah. So it does go hand in hand a little bit with it, but we may have difficulty acknowledge that we even have feelings. You know, we may like, how do you feel about that? And people are like, I don't know. What do you mean? I use a color wheel a lot, you know, for people who have trouble. They've just paid attention to, understood what it means to have feelings and how to identify them and express them. So they just kind of go along.
So part of what you're doing in spiritual coaching is even giving people room and practice to even identify, like, what am I feeling in this moment using that color wheel?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It sounds almost like there's just an atrophied emotion muscle, you know, I mean, that's not a real thing, but if it were a real thing, that it's almost like you're helping people exercise something they haven't had the room or the opportunity to exercise before.
Yeah. And it, you know, can be really, really eye-opening when suddenly someone's like, I don't know what I feel, you know, and that's why it's complicated. my relationships and my own sense of how I feel about myself, because I don't know what I feel, much less know how to express it. So it can be very, very important.
If we don't know what we feel, then we really are crippled in our ability to engage the world. I mean, we are, by God's design, feeling creatures. We have emotions, we have physical feelings in our bodies. Our emotions actually impact how our bodies feel.
Yes. Yeah.
And so we really are limited then in our ability to engage in meaningful ways.
Yeah.
So how about this third one, not being able to trust others?
Well, you know, I think a lot of times if we're having trouble trusting others, one reason is because we feel like we're not worthy, you know, of someone's love and attention. And so we might always feel insecure about the relationship. And you know, if we did feel neglected or ignored, we might find it really hard to rely on somebody. And if there was harsh treatment, either verbally or physically, for sure, you know, there's good reason why we wouldn't feel readily safe. But when I do have clients with physical abuse, I go very slowly in unpacking these things. You know, there can be some very, very deep wounds, and they may need some therapeutic intervention as well. And certainly with sexual abuse, you know, that process is uniquely significant. And we often recommend both, you know, spiritual coaching with prayer and therapy in those situations. And so, you know, this idea of trusting others can be, you know, more minimal, or it can be really extreme. And but it's important. Learning to trust yourself to trust others can be really important.
Yeah, I think about some of the, even those early experiences with a mom. You know, the mom is where a child breastfeeds, and there's that safety in her arms. There's the nurturing in her arms. Jesus uses the expression in both Matthew and Luke. He says, like a mother hen longs to gather her chicks, so I've longed to gather my people.
Yeah.
So there's a sense that mom is this place of security, this place to run home to be covered by.
Yes.
And so for whatever reason, whether it's something more significant like abuse, like you mentioned, or just a mom's own, you know, her own anxiety or difficulties, or if she's walking through something difficult in her life, so she's not as emotionally available.
Yeah.
That makes sense then that there'd be ongoing residual stuff in being able to relax and trust yourself with other people.
And there can be a lot of grief here for men and women, you know, when they realize that they, you know, they long for that kind of, you know, mother hen sheltering, whether it's because how the mother's wired or the circumstances or how the child is wired, whatever, you know, that they don't feel like they received that. There can be a lot of sadness and a lot of grief to work through with that.
Yeah. So talk about the next one. This one is a little newer to me. Oversensitivity. Talk to me about how mother wound and oversensitivity go hand in hand.
Well, this is one that I can definitely relate to. You know, I learned kind of people pleasing out of some of those, you know, when I talked about the how you learn to people please because you need to earn your love for whatever reason. I felt that message as a child. And so when we do that, if there's a deep fear that we're not worthy to be loved, we may sense abandonment even when it's not there. And so there can be this overreaction to things, oversensitivity to things. And I remember at one point, my kind of just realizing, like, I take like everything personally, you know, with my children and my husband, like, you know, and I had to really learn that sometimes what they said and what they did had absolutely nothing to do with me.
Right.
And it took me a while to, you know, kind of get in touch with the fact that I was believing that, you know, everything they said and did had to do with me. And so, and that can cause a lot of chaos in, you know, your own internal sense of self and also your relationships.
And I think this one, it makes sense to me now what you're saying. And I think it's pretty common to any type of wound from our past in general, because there is the sense and our past colleague, Bob Passman, I remember him talking about this, that if you are wounded on your knee and somebody comes up and they slap you on the knee because you're sitting next to each other, like they would anybody else, for anybody else, you're not going to feel anything. It's going to be like, yeah, you know, you're just being friendly, but because I've got this wound, all of a sudden I am in an incredible amount of pain. And yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So then the next one is chronic unhealthy relationships. This is actually a biggie.
Yeah, it is. It's just, you know, we expect so much when we are, you know, when we've had some of these woundings, you know, we become clingy and demanding. And, you know, I get that. I that's something I can relate to too. And I certainly see it, you know, with some of the people I work with. And, you know, having relationships with people like that wears people out. And so just getting in touch with the fact that, you know, we expect so much from people and it's just too much.
Yeah. And so this, it's kind of like, you know, if mom is that nurturing presence and dad in his own ways too, but even in that, on that physical level, that we mentioned early on as a baby, it's almost like those, again, those needs don't just go away. And so there's a continuing grasping that goes on for somebody who hasn't gotten that from mom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I skipped one, Kit.
Yeah. So, yeah. The last one has to do with the lack of confidence, you know, and all of us struggle with lack of confidence and, you know, not always thinking well of ourselves, you know, right? We all do, a lack of identity. But, you know, when it's really significant, it can really, we can't bring our best selves. We can't even imagine that we can bring our best selves into a relationship. And so when we look to other people, we look to other things to give us our identity and sense of, you know, self and well-being, and that's very precarious. And so in healing prayer, and, you know, when I work with people in this area, you know, we go to God, you know, he's the one who can say, this is who you are. This is who I created you to be. And so that's really important.
So Kit, I want to transition us to talking about how do we heal? I want to hear more about that. Yeah. And discuss more of that with you. But let me ask this question just as a point of curiosity. I think I know the answer, but when people come, like, is the majority of it, hey, I've got some stuff from my past that I want to talk to, or is it the majority of times it's, hey, I'm dealing with some present day issues. And in the dealing with present day issues, part of what comes up are the connections to these old things from the past.
Yeah, it's both. It's both. You know, some people come and say, I'm realizing that there are some things that happened to me as a child, some memories that I wasn't aware of, some things that I've gotten in touch with as I've gotten older. One big thing is when people start to have children. It's big because they're raising these little children. You know, they're interacting with an infant. They're raising a toddler, a preschooler, and they're realizing what they didn't or did receive or experience in their own childhood. That's a big trigger. Yeah.
You know, so, I actually remember hearing at one point that, and I can't confirm this, but in my gut, there feels to be like there's some sense to it. But I remember hearing at one point that, that you may become most sensitive to the wounds you experience as a child when your kids hit the ages where you experience some of those significant wounds.
Yeah, absolutely. And so that's true. But then also, you know, people can come and just say, my life isn't working. My relationships aren't working. I've been a Christian. I have a faith, but it's failing me. I don't feel like, I feel like I'm falling away from God. And there's all kinds of different reasons why people come, or there's been betrayal, you know, there's been a betrayal by a spouse or a boyfriend or girlfriend. So different things.
Yeah. It's beautiful. I mean, not beautiful, but it's important to be looking back at that. And I think it's a beautiful thing when God allows us to realize we're walking with wounds, because his heart is really to bring the kind of healing that we're after.
Yeah. And it's not, you know, if we were all honest, we're all in recovery for something, you know, and again, we don't try to create it. We don't go digging for problems. But the fact is, we all grew up in a broken world, and there's disappointment. And being able to have somebody you trust, whether it's a friend or a mentor or a spiritual coach or a therapist, you know, to be able to talk these things through, it's really helpful.
Yeah.
That's so good. And I think today's conversation has been especially helpful for those who have found something of their own story in the things that you've been sharing, Kit. We'll have to stop here. But we want to come back to this next week, because we can't leave it here. We have to come back and talk about how we heal. What does Jesus do to bring healing to these areas that sometimes go way, way back in childhood? So make sure that you join us next week, and we'll stop here today, but we'll pick up there. So Jesus, thank you so much for this conversation today. We just commend ourselves to you, and we commend those listening to you, and prepare us, Lord, for the healing you want to do, that we can become more whole. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Becoming Whole. Becoming Whole is an audio ministry of regenerationministries.org. If you would like more information on Becoming Whole, Regeneration Ministries hosts a variety of articles, podcasts, programs, and events to support you on your journey. Until next time, God bless.